Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
We're going to be talking about some of the struggles in my own life, and I just want to mention a couple. Before I do that, the Word of God says there is no condemnation in Christ, just victory and freedom. He came to set the captives free. So when I'm reading this, or when I'm bringing scripture here, my heart is not to bring condemnation. My heart is to bring the Word of God that frees us. But as we work through God's love letter, and I've called it that because, you know, in the beginning when I started reading the scriptures, the Old Testament, as Brad said, through Job, the lenses that I had on my eyes were not seeing the true heart of God. But when we look at God's Word as a love letter, you'll see that right through the Old Testament, right through the New Testament, Father God is writing to his people a love letter. He says, come to me. And I'm going to get into those three words just now. There is nothing in the scripture that says he is angry with us. His heart was always to draw us to him. And I call it today's sermon, I call it his love letter to us. You see, it's a love letter to his bride, and he wants his bride to come to him perfectly. I'd like you to consider three questions that I have as we go into the Word of God. The questions are these. I'm giving you the questions up front, so as I share the Word, you can remember and think about what I've asked you. Are there areas in your life in which you would be like to be freed of? And I'm going to call that strongholds. For example, just in case you're not familiar with the word stronghold, is there areas in your life that the Word is speaking to you about anxiety or fear or anger or addictions or depression or comparison or envy or anger? That you might say to yourself, there might be folk here that say, well, what is a stronghold? And my interpretation of a stronghold is this. Because I only got to know Jesus when I was 49 years old, I'd built up certain beliefs in my own life that had built layers upon layers upon layers of understanding of life, that when I came to know the Word of God, these areas in my life that I came to believe as truth were being unraveled. Layer upon layer, God has been taking them off through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the fellowship of his saints. You see, the enemy will want you to believe these layers that he's been putting in your life as the truth. And I want to tell you today that those few subjects that I've mentioned, there are many more, that they are not part of God's plan, not part of God's Word for his people. The truth is this, in 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received, those who have come to know Christ, I want you to say, in fact, everybody, I just want you to say, we have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. The second question I have, if you feel or sense you have an area you are struggling in, I would like you to consider the scriptures that are brought, that I'm sharing, in what the Father is telling you. And I'm not saying that what I'm bringing is the whole content of what God speaks to in these subjects, but I've highlighted some that have spoken to me, and I would encourage you to read if you feel that there's an area in your life that you would like to explore more. The third question and last one that I have is, if you have had victory in any of these areas, do you feel your testimony, if shared, would encourage and strengthen somebody else? So that is one of the reasons I'm standing here today, because I feel that I have layers that have been ripped or taken off me over a period of time by reading the Word, submitting to the Holy Spirit, and being with you, the family of God. You see, when I was 26, I started my business. I did not know Jesus. I had a very strong understanding of how to do business and the ethics of business. And I now know that that was something that the Father had implanted in me. But there were distortions in the way I had seen and envisioned life. My motto was this: I will do anything that needs to be done to accomplish what I want. I didn't break laws or anything like that, but I was vigorous, I was aggressive in pursuing my business. And in this period of pursuing business, there was a lot of layers that were placed over my life, and I came to believe them as truth. Did you see this wedding ring that you see on my finger now? And you would have all known that it's been there for a while, because that's when I came here, you all saw it. But this ring was only put on my finger at 49, 50 years old. Because what my understanding was, my business provided our survival. I was married to Sandy, and I didn't have a ring. I never had a ring. My business provided our livelihood. Therefore, it was esteemed above everything else. And my marriage was under that, and my kids were under that. And this was something that I pursued for many, many years, to the degree that we had a lot of problems and were almost separated and the Father is faithful. He drew me at the age of 49 years old. You are never, ever too old to know Jesus Christ. When he started drawing me, we had a discussion, and my hand was like it, and let me just give you the excuse I always used. I said, "Love, if I'm going to do what I need to do in business, I cannot wear a ring." So I went out so that that couldn't be an excuse and bought a titanium ring, and this ring is now 8 years old, and it's still here. I bought it out of titanium so that it would never perish. It would never come off my ring, because the covenant, I started understanding a covenant between us at first, before I really got to know the Father heart, and then understanding the covenant of the Father, and then putting this covenant underneath it. So my understanding, in one of my layers that came off, was the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ is the covenant that comes first, and these covenants come second. It's strange that that is the exact resemblance of the cross that we have up there. We need the Holy Spirit, but we also need each other. The consequences of these years, as I've said before, was a reinforcing of unbelief, of layers of incorrect understanding of what God wanted for his children. So I'd like to now start getting into the Word. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord. Always again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. It struck me, this word reasonableness, because when I looked it up, I'm like, I'm just not understanding this. And the word in the understanding is that it's common sense. When your common sense, or I would call it when you're savvy, okay, be known to everyone. I live off savvy because I was never educated. I did study after I left school very young. But I lived off my savvy of life. I learned things with my eyes and my ears, and I taught myself by watching the people around me and in my trade. But what God is saying here, he says, your common sense, your savvy, when you read the scriptures, you cannot but not let everyone know. Because my common sense tells me the truth in this word. It says, the Lord is at hand, do not be anxious about anything. And this is one of my biggest strongholds that have been in my life. Do not be anxious about anything. I've prayed many a time to the Lord, Lord, if I am to do your work, you need to take anxiety out of me. But it's a journey. And I can honestly say to you that me standing up here is part of a testimony that he is removing that from me. There's a journey that we're on, and we are not going to always be in a place of victory before we can declare God is good. Philippians 1, 12 to 14. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident, it has become savvy to the whole palace guard and to the rest, that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And another word for fear, I would say, is anxiousness. But I mean, if you look closely to this at the scripture, it says that the palace guards, and this struck me, Paul was in prison for preaching the word of God. He was, I mean, the consequences of that could have been death. He did not know what the outcome was going to be. Yet, his confidence that his trials were in Jesus Christ, and the victory he's displayed, even though he had not overcome the trials, he was still in the trials, led the palace guards to see that he was there because of Jesus Christ, and to declare that Jesus Christ was their Savior. You see, our journey, the journey that we're on, does not dictate that we can only give victory, we can only get victory or give testimony or glorify Jesus Christ when we get to the end of our trial, but rather in our trials we need to say, Lord Jesus, you are victorious. I declare that whatever I'm going through is in you, and I can have victory in this, and there's more testimony in that than getting the victory at the end of the day, even though the victory is also good for our testimony. Paul, in prison, and you'll see this in Philippians 4:12, the Philippian church sends him money because they hear of his trial, and he says this, I am grateful for this gift. He says, I am grateful for this gift, but I want you to know that I am content in receiving more or less. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in, whether it's in abundance or whether it's in nothing. I've learned to be content. He did not want to take the glory away from God by the provision of the finance from one of the churches. Let's continue in that Philippians 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there's a couple of words that were highlighted to me. In prayer and supplication, in requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. When we receive the word of God and it highlights something in us, and we bring it into the light, God releases it for us. But if we do not release it, if we contain it within ourselves and we hold it within ourselves, it stays within the darkness of us. A very interesting thing the Lord brought to me is when we were in Natal, there was the problem with Natal is that it's very moist, and mold grows in moisture. But mold in the darkness sets off fungi, and fungi can cause serious sicknesses in us. But when that mold is exposed to the light, it kills it. And it was like, Lord, what are you saying here? He says, well, when we hold these things that are not true to him in our lives, it's like a mold inside of us that lets off a fungi that causes death in our own lives. But when you are exposed to his light, the mold dies and we have freedom. And talking about light, I want to go to 1 John 1:5-9. So this is John talking to the church. It's talking to believers about false teaching. He says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." If we think about the mold. "But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us." I want you to change that word, cleanses. Just think of washes. "From all sin." My understanding of this is as we have fellowship with God, we start having fellowship with each other. It says, we have fellowship with one another, and we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Even though, what I'm understanding here is that as we encounter the family of God and we experience what the Holy Spirit has given to each and every one of us in a community, in the life groups that we have, in the Friday men's meetings and prayer meetings, in the ladies' meetings, when we meet in each other's households, when we have supper together, that as we have fellowship with God and Jesus, the same Spirit that is working in us, we start having fellowship with each other, and we start working out and start being washed by his blood. You see, if I can just refer to a story, when Moses was in the desert, Jethro, his father-in-law, saw that Moses was taking strain dealing with the tribe of Israel, because there were many of them that had many problems. And Jethro came to him and said, "Moses, you will never survive if you try and do this on your own." He said, "Find faithful servants and appoint them to deal with tens of thousands, one hundreds and tens." And this is the design of God, to help the family of God to deal with issues when we have whatever it is, strongholds or fellowship. He designed us to have life groups. He designed us to come together as a family. And it's a way of dealing with these layers and layers that the enemy has placed in our lives. In Matthew 11, 27 to 30. All things, Matthew 11, this is my holding scripture for today. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father." In Matthew 28, he says, "All power and authority has been given to me." Here he says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Come to me. These three words over the last week have been a profound revelation to me. These three words encapsulate the whole of God's heart, the whole of his gospel, the whole of his word in the Old and New Testament. Come to me. There's an authority there. He says, all authority has been given to me. And here he says, simple words, come to me. He's calling us to come to him. We've known the statement that he has been called the great physician. And you know, often we go to the doctor with our confidence that he's going to heal us. And often we are not healed. But God says to us with full confidence that he can heal. He has the authority to do whatever you need. He says, come to me. He has the solution for each and every one of our problems. Because he came as man and walked through each and every one of them and suffered so that we would know that he would understand what we're going through. He says, come to me, because he knows that there is nothing that you can come with that he can't deal with. He has the solution. In 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." You see, when we go to God, when we go to Jesus, when we approach the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that he holds back from us. He has given us power, love, and self-discipline. In Matthew 14, 28 to 29, Jesus sends his disciples ahead in the boat, and he comes out. The disciples are in the boat there, and there's a bit of a storm happening, and he's walking past, and they are terrified because they think they've seen a ghost. And Peter says this. He says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you." He doesn't say, "Lord, can I come to you?" He says, "Lord, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said one simple word. He said, "Come." He didn't say to Peter, "I command you to come to me." He said, "Come." Because he had authority. All authority had been given to him. And Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on the water because Jesus said, "Come." It's the obedience and trust and faith in what Jesus said. And he only said one word, "Come." And as we keep our eyes on Jesus and we walk, as he says, "Come to me," we walk on water. But when we remove our focus of him, we start sinking. Jesus took another trip across the waters in Mark 5, 6, and 7. And it's for this, he takes this whole trip, he gets there, there's a miracle that is performed, and he leaves. One has to wonder what he's telling us. Because when he gets to the other side, he gets out of the boat, and a man possessed with possibly 2,000 demons sees him and runs up to him and says, "Lord, what do you want with me?" These were his words. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." You see, even the darkness recognizes and submits to the power of Jesus Christ. All authority. This wasn't something that he was given halfway. This was all authority that was given to him. To the degree that he had the enemy run up to him and say these words, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." This is the confidence that we have in the authority that we've been given. In Hebrews 3, 7 and 11, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says," I can just give you a bit of context. Israel have come out of Egypt. They've been promised a promised land. They did not enter it, and they spent 40 years in the desert. And in Hebrews it says this, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Today, not then, because this is word, it's forever. "Today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts." Or let's say it like this. "Today, if you hear my voice, have a tender heart towards me. In the day of trial and in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years, we can see many miracles and still not hear his voice. Have a tender heart submitting to him and receive him. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest." You see the rest. There's a couple of words that I'd like to pick out there. The rest for Israel was the promised land, the physical land of milk and honey. But the rest he's talking about for us is the confidence in what Jesus did on the cross, the confidence that he was the Son of God, the confidence that he went to the cross for you and me, the confidence that he died and was buried and was raised again and conquered death and is seated at the right hand of God. This is the confidence. And this is the rest that we rest in today, because Jesus Christ will give us rest when we have confidence in what he has done for us. And he says to us, if you hear my voice and soften your heart towards me, I will take you into a place of rest. Because we read earlier on, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'd like to take us to Isaiah 53, 4 to 6, just to bring this point across a little bit more closely to us. We've got to understand that Isaiah was prophetically seeing something that was coming, the Messiah that was coming to do this for us. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins for us all. You see, Jesus is saying to us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We carry on with 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in my soul, in your souls. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, when we read this without having the lens of God's love letter towards us, straight away we see, Lord, you want me with all my burdens to take on your yoke as well. But when we look a little bit closer, just to emphasize the meaning of yoke, a yoke was used in those days. It was put around an ox. It was put around an animal that would be loaded with a wagon behind him. It was something that he would have to draw. So if we look at Jesus and he's saying to us, take my yoke upon you, we could see this as taking the burden of Jesus, what he carried for us. But that's not what he's saying. Because he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is saying that as we take our heavy burdens, because he comes to me who are labor and have heavy burdens, and he exchanges it for his yoke, which is the rest in what he did on the cross for us today. How can we not take upon ourselves that exchange, that at the cross all our sins were taken? If we take upon ourselves his yoke, he takes all our burdens, he takes all our heaviness, he takes all our layers that have been placed on us by the enemy, and he says, I will give you rest. In Exodus 17, 8 to 12, I'm going to read through the passage and then we can take it further. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joseph, choose us some men and go out, fight the Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought the Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let them down, when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses became heavy, and so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. They took a stone and put it under him. Jesus is our rock. Jesus, you know, Paul said, I lay a foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ. When I saw this picture in my head of Moses sitting on the rock, I thought to myself, he has a foundation of Jesus Christ under him. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. It's an incredible picture of God's community here. It's an incredible picture that as we have a foundation of Jesus Christ under us, and as we fellowship with one another, that we see the sun going down at the end of the day. I want us to do a physical demonstration just to take this point. I want each of us to turn our heads to the right. Take the hand of the left hand of the person on your right and pick it up. So you will see that if you had somebody next to you, that your hands, that every one of our hands are held up. You see, Moses, you can put your hands down. See, Moses was weak in his own strength. He could not fight this battle. He had to have the foundation of Jesus Christ under him. He had to have fellowship to hold his hands up. And we in community cannot do this journey alone. We can only do this journey if we have a foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock under us, and we have fellowship with saints next to us, holding our hands up. You see, our hands will get heavy. Life will give us blows. There will be storms that come in our lives. And if we pretend or try and hide it in the darkness and not bring it into the light, if we do not bring ourselves into the presence of Jesus and into the presence of our fellows, saints, we are going to get heavy arms and we are going to sink. I would like to land with these two verses. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. My story is this, that many of us have victories, and many of us are on a journey, and you might be on a journey at the moment. But as with myself being on a journey and having many layers, the Father is stripping them off. It is with His power and with His revelation in those next to you, and with His power that are living in those next to you, that we are able to come up and say, Father, strip me of these things that are not of you. Because we cannot walk our full walk in our destiny if we hold on to things that are not of God.